So I was listening to this podcast or something or other, and this gentleman was talking about how God said, you are not allowed to complain. And this morning, I blew it. I was like, I'm so tired, God. And the Lord said to me, do you think I can't do something for you? I was like, okay, coffee on, gospel on, and I'm good to go. So I'm not complaining, but we have coffee after church. Amen. All righty. Hey, last week we started a series all about the Sermon on the Mount, so let's pray. Father God, we come to you. We come to you and we get to usher ourselves into your presence because of what Jesus has done. And we thank you, Lord, that today is a great day. And Pastor D is doing good, even with coffee. And I thank you, Father, that my heart, everybody say, my heart is prepared to hear and receive the word of God. Now go Pentecostal on me. Woo! Okay, all righty. So last week we started our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're continuing, and actually today is part two of where we left off last week, talking about the Beatitudes. So the Beatitudes, you can open up your Bibles because we're going to get there sooner or later, but open up to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is on top of a mountain. That's why they call it Sermon on the Mount. How about that? So Jesus is on top of the mountain. There's a whole bunch of people below. They didn't come up yet. And Jesus' disciples truck up the mountain, and Jesus is teaching his disciples. Jesus is teaching his disciples. And listen to this. If you want to know how to live in this new life, this new kingdom that Jesus has got to us, read the Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus is telling his guys how to live this new life. How did he live this new life? And let me tell you, the life that I used to live before I know Jesus is looking a whole lot different than the life I now have in Jesus. Everybody say, I like the new life. I do. And so we said last week that the Beatitudes are progressive, and that meant it starts with, help me out, who remembers? Yes! You get two cups of coffee. It starts with salvation and it progresses to now, it progresses that then you're going to be persecuted for your salvation. Everybody's going, yippee! I used to read all that, those scriptures about being persecuted. I'm like, tear that one out. I don't want that one. Tear that one out. I don't want that one. But listen, Jesus will tell us how to do this, all right? So praise the Lord. Now, persecuted for your salvation. Persecuted because you're a believer. Persecuted because you stand up for Jesus. There's countries in this world that they are persecuted. I have a friend, acquaintance, I get to see them once a year at a conference and stuff, but they've gone into China. They go into China, and when you go into China, they have churches there. Now, he doesn't go to mainline churches. He goes to underground churches, and these are churches that preach the full gospel. They tell him everything about who Jesus is and what he's done. So he goes in, and he preaches the gospel over there, and these churches, it's really interesting. No, it isn't. But they are really hungry for the word of God because they've got to hide out because they're going to be persecuted. And my friend was telling me he went and taught with a couple of pastors. And the first day, they taught. They broke it up. We taught for 8 hours. Some of your behinds would last that long. They taught for 8 hours the word of God, okay? And why? Because they are hungry for the word of God. And now, this is a place, a nation, that you are persecuted for your faith. And if you get caught being a Jesus and going to these kind of churches, they're going to grab you. They're going to throw you in the car. They're going to lock you up. They might even beat you up, and you might even die. So they are really persecuted. Now, how many of you are glad we live in a country where we can go freely into church? Yeah, I am. But it's changing. It is changing, and I've noticed this the last 10 years. There's more, and it's going to accelerate, so everybody smile, persecuting Christians. Okay, and there's lots of things. If you follow the news, they're doing it, okay? So, if this, now I'm so glad we have a country where we've been able to do this freely, gather together, but if it just amps up a whole lot, guess what? You are still a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus still lives in you, and he said he'll carry us through. So praise the Lord. Now when I read about persecution, I read all those scriptures, I always end it, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Alrighty, so that was kind of last week. Okay, y'all at Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, all right. We started with verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we also read the whole shabam. We read verses 1 all the way down to 12, and we found out the word blessed is used a lot, like 9 times we saw the word blessed, and we'll go over the definition of that. But I'm telling you what, if we really understand what that word means, blessed, and when we read these Beatitudes where we're blessed, it'll just change the way you live. It'll change the way you live. Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 5, we're just going to start in verse 5 and 6 today. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. All right, blessed, blessed, blessed. What does that mean? They're going to pop the definition up here. It says happy, fortunate, jubilant when God confers or extends his blessing on you. All right? So when Jesus said, Matthew 5:5, blessed, happy, fortunate are the meek. Now, most Christians think that means the weak. It doesn't mean the weak, okay? And listen, there was not a single bone in Jesus' body that was weak when he walked on this planet. He was not the weak. And as a matter of fact, he's the example we follow, amen? And we're going to talk more about what meekness means, okay? But it is not weak. It's not weak. So, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who cares? What are you talking about, Pastor D? What do you mean, inherit the earth? Like, what's that all about? Well, I think it's more than what you're thinking on, all right? So, if you're taking notes, I got lots of notes for you today. If you need a card, go get one, okay? Here we go. Inherit. The blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does inherit mean? It means to obtain. To obtain the possessions of your inheritance. Okay, this is where it's good. The day you receive Jesus Christ, you got an inheritance. Everybody go, yay, I have an inheritance, okay? I have an inheritance, okay? And if you've received Jesus Christ, and when you go to heaven, you're going to get your full inheritance, okay? There's a full inheritance up in heaven. But while you're here and now, you have an inheritance, okay? There's an inheritance, all right? Now, inheritance. Patty, what are you talking about, Pastor D? So let's say your parents die and they leave you things, you inherit things, right? They inherit things. So Jesus died and he was resurrected, and guess what? You inherit every promise he says that is yours. Aren't you excited? Gosh. I'm like, I'm so excited. Listen, you, because you're a believer, because Jesus died, you get to inherit all the promises that he wrote in this book, okay? Now, only, everybody say only. Only if you're meek. So we better figure out what this word meek means, okay? So what does it mean? If you're taking notes, it really, it's the condition of your heart, okay? And here's the definition, meek or meekness. It's a humble attitude that expresses itself in the patient endurance of offenses. Oh, Lord Jesus, I need that one. Gosh. Keep reading. It can also be defined as gentleness. Okay? It implies mercy and self-restraint, humility of spirit to be free from arrogance and pride. So, you know what's happened after I've read the Bible and read the Bible and studied the Bible and read the Bible and studied the Bible? You know what? All of us, I found out, are challenged with pride. Not me, Pastor D. There's not a prideful bone in my body. Oh, no, honey. All of us get challenged in this thing called pride. All of us. And what I'd like to do is give you a checkup list. I'm going to give you a checkup list, a checklist to see, because pride, it just tries to jump on you. And you don't, okay, go ahead. Anyway, I'll tell you about that in a minute. So I'm going to give you a list so you can do a checkup. Am I in this thing called pride? And I'm just going to read them really quickly today. They'll pop them on the screen, and I'll give you a scripture. I'm not going to read the scriptures because we'll be here till 2 o'clock, and I've got places to go and people to see. So here we go. Pride. Oh, by the way, I'm going to give you a good book to read. You know, I have a good book when I can't find the cover. I have worn the cover off of this. So I didn't just read this thing once. I would read it like a couple of times in the last couple of years. And then at one point I thought, you need to read this. This is God talking to me. Girl, you need to read this every year. So are they going to put that up there? Thank you. It's a book by Andrew Murray. He's since gone home to be with the Lord, and he wrote a book about humility, all right? And I really just think you should get it, and you'll just be amazed what pride is. So I really think this is the book I start every year with. Like, Pastor D, you better read this, all right? All right. Here's our checklist. Up. Let me see. I don't know. All right. Let me say this before I give you the checklist. Pride doesn't look good on anybody. Look at your neighbor and say, pride doesn't look good on anybody. Notice I didn't say you. It don't look good on anybody, all right? So maybe we better figure out what this looks like, all right? Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Let me give you a quote before I get on there, okay? I'm kind of all over here. Andrew Murray wrote this: pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. It's one of those posties, you're like, oh my gosh. Pride has to die in you, or there's nothing of heaven that can live in you. So does that mean you can't be a Christian? No, you can be a Christian. Okay, but he's telling you, you need salvation first, and then you have the Holy Spirit that comes in you, and then you need to kick out pride, okay? You need to kick out pride, because if you kick pride out of your life, then the blessings of God, you can grab hold of, right? So that's why we want to kick that out. And, you know, I've heard somebody say this. I'm going to get to that list. I didn't get lost, okay? But I remember hearing this. I've heard this several times. Pastor D, I'm praying for money. I'm praying for tons of money. I'm praying for millions of dollars. God, I need money. And, you know, I was like, and then I thought, if God gave you money right now, the way your heart is, it would be bad. It would be bad. You would just do the wrong stuff with money, all right? You would. So if God gives you money, you have to have the right heart, not I'm going to hang on to it, all right? Because if that becomes your pride, not so good in your life, all right? So pride must die in you, or nothing in heaven can live. All right, here's our list, our checklist. This is, you got to check up on yourself. Ready? Pride of position, and it's found in Matthew 23, verse 6. How many of you don't point to anybody, look at the ceiling? Just, you know, how many of you know that person at work who got a promotion, you know, higher up on the scale here, and then the next week, they're just like nasty. They're just like mean to everybody. They're just like uppity. Okay, well, that's pride of position, all right? Here's another one, pride of ability. It's found in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to go through these fast, 26, 15 through 16. Pride of ability. This happened one time, and I was like, oh, yeah, this certain person had all these abilities. Like, I didn't have them. I just did not get those abilities. And they were just, like, kind of strutting around. Look at my talents. Look at my abilities. That's pride, all right? Here's another one. Some people have pride of achievement. Some people have pride of wealth. Some people have pride, and this goes along with possessions. And some people have pride of knowledge. And it's real interesting. The Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. In other words, you can have knowledge, and you think, look at me. All right, so that's a type of pride. Of course, it's some nobody here, right? Nobody here. Pride of learning. How many of you know that person that's been in college for like 25 years? Okay. Now, listen, I honor the fact that if you go to college, I think that's great, okay? But if you're doing it just so you can collect all your frame degrees on the wall and tell everybody, look how much I know more than you, you got some pride going on, okay? But if God tells you to go to college and he tells you why, you go and do it. But if you're kind of just strutting your pictures on the wall, all right, that's pride, all right? Here's another one. Pride of spiritual attainment. Look how far I've come spiritually. Like, I hear the voice of God, and I pray in the Holy Ghost, and I have God talk to me. You stink. That's pride, okay? That's pride. And then the other one is self-righteousness, okay? You know, I heard this girl, she was doing a podcast, and she talked about this in her life. She said, I have not done the stuff that you've done. I am so much better than you. And she'd been a believer her whole life. Well, she'd been a believer. And one day God just slapped her in the face and said, honey, that's pride. You were a sinner saved by grace. And thank God, okay? So you can have pride of you're so self-righteous. So every once in a while you have to do the checklist of where if there's pride going on. Let me give you a quote somebody wrote. Meekness is to be or remain teachable. Everybody say teachable. Okay? Not only to God's word, but overall in life, like to leaders and mentors. So meekness is to be teachable. And if you get to the point in your life where, you know, I'm no longer listening to my pastor or my mentor or my leader because, you know, I just know so much. And gee whiz, I passed them a long time ago. You got pride going on. And let me tell you, you got pride going on, that's not going to end good. It never does. Matter of fact, go back to the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah. And we have Lucifer, a.k.a. soon to be Satan. Lucifer, he's in heaven, and he gets kicked out. He gets kicked out. Now, at this point, he is the head worship leader. He leads worship for everybody, right? And matter of fact, if you read in, I think it's in Psalms, God designed him that in him were instruments were built in him. Just think, you didn't have to carry in your keyboard. That must have been nice, right? So God created him to lead worship. He had instruments built in him. I can't even on a good day figure that out, but that was cool. So anyway, here we have Lucifer, okay? And he's this glorious being that God created and to lead worship, to worship God, the perfect God. And one day he's like, you know what? I am going to arise myself above God's kingdom because I'm better. Buddy, you got pride and you got kicked out, right? He got kicked out. So when you stop listening to, say, a mentor or a leader because you think, you know, I know more than I am, listen, you are liable to get humbled, okay? God might humble you or you might do something dumb and you get humbled. I've done some dumb things, let me tell you, all right? So I'd rather, listen, this is me. I would rather be the person that just goes, God, I am sorry. In and of my own self, I am nothing. And you are everything. Okay, that's humble, all right, as opposed to. Okay, I have a box full of certificates, and I just put them in the basement. I don't even care about those anymore. All right, another quote. I'm going to quote a lot from Andrew Warren Murray. Here we go. Humility is nothing but the disappearance of self. And the vision that God is all, right? So when I realize, He is everything. He is all. And I just lower myself and I go, God, I just want to disappear from the self in me. Because you are everything. Okay? That's humility. And humility will help you get and stay like that. So turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. He kind of nails this subject. James chapter 1, I say this all the time. James is a half-brother of Jesus. He's his big brother, Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. And James, Bible historians say, he didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. Not the Messiah. He's my brother. And then Jesus died and he rose again. And all of a sudden, whoa, that's the Son of God. All right? So I kind of get, you know, siblings, you know, here you are. So here's James chapter 1, verse 21. Listen to what he says. Receive with meekness. Everybody say meekness, not weakness, okay? Receive with meekness humility. Meekness or humility, the engrafted or the implanted word of God. So, in other words, every time I hear the word of God, I'm going to humble myself. Even when I come and I hear someone preach a message and it's the word of God, I'm going to humble myself and receive that. And you know, sometimes, I'm off track here. Say, my opinion. My opinion. My opinion, if it's not the word of God, phooey, okay? So when I hear the word of God and I hear a teaching that is the word of God, I'm going to humble myself and receive the word of God. And I'm going to chuck out my opinion. And I have a lot of opinions that I found out. They're in the trash. I'm throwing them in. I'm going to go by what the word of God says. So you have to position your heart, chuck out your pride, chuck out your opinions, position your heart and say, Lord, I humble myself to your word. That is the final authority in my life. Amen? It is. All right. So let me give you a definition of humility. Ready? To lower yourself. To bow. All right. Now, you just might know some people in the world that are just so whatever, you know. But unless they have humbled themselves to the Lord, all right, and you read about them and you see about them. But unless these people, all people, humble themselves to the Lord, you're in trouble. Okay, it's not good. And and listen, God will humble you. God will humble you. And, you know, I like the way God humbles you instead of somebody, because sometimes people embarrass you. I'm like, God's so sweet about it. He really is. But he'll humble you, not because he's mean, not because I have a plan for you, guy. You need to be humbled. No, he'll humble you because after you're humbled, your heart's open, and you can start receiving the promises of God, all right? So James talks about humble. First Peter talks about humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Woo, okay? So that's good. Let me give you another quote. I'm going on quotes for Andrew Womack. Only the meek, those who have perfected humility, shall find their way into the kingdom of God. I had to read that 5 times. Because my thought was, what? Maybe I'm not saved. Because he said, only the meek, those who have perfected humility, can find their way into the kingdom of God. Listen, we said this last week. The first step for everybody is humility. Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. That's humility. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus, okay? I can't save myself. I tried for 21 years. What a pile of mess. Some of you have tried for a long time to save yourself. You can't save yourself. Who saves you? So that's humility. Everybody go, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus. Woo! That's humility, okay? I love that part. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read this again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed, happy, fortunate, jubilant when God confers or extends his blessings towards those that are meek, not weak, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, question. What happens when you're meek? Go back and look at that. Blessed, happy, fortunate, jubilant, when God confers, extends his blessings on towards those who are meek, they shall inherit the earth. What happens when you're meek? Woo, you inherit the earth. Oh, well, what does that mean, Pastor D? I don't get it. You inherit the promises of God. That's what it means. All of God's promises are yes and amen. So, When you're meek, you can inherit, obtain, possess the promises of God. So turn over to Psalm 37, or they'll put it on the screen, Psalm 37. So Psalm 37 is an old covenant, Old Testament scripture, and Jesus is tracking right along with this in the Beatitudes. You'll hear this, okay? And by the way, Jesus lived Old Covenant. It wasn't until he died and rose again that we went over here to New Covenant. So he throws the Old Covenant scriptures out a lot. He gets it. So listen to this. Psalm 37, verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. So the day that Jesus was talking to the people on the Sermon on the Mount, just talking to them, who were these people? Jews. Jesus hadn't died. They hadn't received him. He's talking to Jews. Okay? And they believe God. Believe God's going to send the Messiah. So he's talking to Jews, okay? Now, this scripture, they understood. I read it the first time. I went winging over my head. But they were Jews. They understood that. And they understood that, God, you made a promise. You're going to give us the land. Now, everybody say now. Now I'm in New Covenant. Now I'm a new believer, okay? Now I have promises, but it's not a promise to land necessarily, okay? Okay, this is talking about spiritual, okay, spiritual land. So Jesus is saying this to his disciples, okay? And he says, if you're humble, everybody say humble, you will inherit what? The promises of God. If you're humble, you're going to inherit the promises of God. How many of you would like to have all those promises of God moving in your life? Well, I'll take yours if you didn't raise your hand. I want them, okay? I want all the promises moving in my life, all right? So God gave us promises. Here's my question. How do I obtain these promises, all right? Proverbs 22:4. How do I obtain the promises? Proverbs 22:4. By the way, today is going to be challenging. So get ready. Here we go. This is one of the challenges. Ready? He says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. What? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life? Are you telling me if I humble myself, there's riches, honor, and life that are promised? Everybody shake your head. Say yes. Yeah, they are. Okay? Now, riches is not necessarily that you're rich and you just stockpile it, okay? That's not exactly it. But listen, if God always has a purpose for his plan, and if your plan, his plan is to just prosper you, he's got a plan to be in the plan. It's not so you hold on to this, right? Not so you hold on to that. Okay. So humility is the key thing. It's like the key thing for followers of Jesus. Okay, and here's the challenging part. Put your seatbelts on. Brace yourself. Ready? We don't see pride in us. We usually don't see pride in us. Okay, who usually sees pride in us? Point to everybody next to you. Okay? Yeah, okay. You know, typically, we don't see pride, but everybody around us sees pride in us, okay? So, there has to come a day in our lives where we realize I must decrease and he must increase. I must bow myself to him because he's above. He's everything, all right? So, I need to humble myself. And the Bible says that every knee shall bow, right, in heaven and earth. So here's the thing. I want to bow now. Everybody say, bow now to him rather than later, okay? I want to bow now to him. I want to be humble to him. I acknowledge him in everything. I bow my life to him, okay? Because there's coming a day, if you don't bow now, there'll be a bow later on, okay? And you won't have it in heaven. If you bow now, to him, you know, humility is Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need a savior. You bow now, heaven is your forever, all right? But if you don't bow now on this earth, right? Okay. Doesn't care, you know. Okay, if you're here and you're like, Pastor D, but you know, Pastor D, I'm so rich, I have all the money in the world. You know what? Thank you for coming today. We are so glad you're here. But that's not going to get you to heaven. Okay? That's not going to get you to heaven, your wealth, okay? Matter of fact, James just spanks them in the book of James. He rebukes them because the church was having people, inviting people, please invite people, people that are wealthy, go ahead and invite them. I love that. That's wonderful. And they were favoring the wealthy in the church over those that didn't have a lot. And man, God was, he was ticked. James was ticked. He let him know that, all right? So that's not good, all right? God doesn't want that. All right, moving on to, let's go back to Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed, happy, fortunate, jubilant are those meek, the meek, those who humble, for they shall inherit the earth. That's the promises, okay? That's what we're talking about. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Okay, this scripture is not talking you missed a meal and you're hungry. This is not what it's talking about, hunger and thirst, okay? This is Jesus saying, hey, first you accept Jesus, and then you have the Holy Spirit that's in you, and then you have to get to the place where you humble yourself. And then he says, after you do that, receive Jesus, Holy Spirit inside you, okay, get rid of pride, humble yourself, and he says, then you'll start hungering and thirsting for God, and you'll be filled. Everybody say, hungry? Thirsting. All right, for who? Yeah, all right. So let me ask this question. Has this ever happened to anybody? Like you woke up in the morning, you went through half your day, and you're like, man, I am not hungry. I am just not hungry. I don't think I've ever had a day in my life like that. I think I wake up. Anybody else, you just wake up hungry? Like, God, okay? Yeah, okay. But this is talking about hungry for the things of God, thirsty for the things of God, okay? And some of y'all need to get back to hungry for God. Some of y'all need to get back to thirsty for the things of God, all right? So how do you do that? Glad you asked. How do you do that? Ready? Well, let's go back. He says, if you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled. If you hunger, you'll be filled. If you thirst, you'll be filled for God, all right? So turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is what happens when you hunger and thirst for the things of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So what he's really saying, what do you need to do? You need to clear out your heart. Get rid of stuff, pride, start, you know, being humble, all right? All right, then what happens next? Verse 2, ready? This verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So if you're taking notes, write this down. You only grow from the word of God. Grow spiritually, grow in knowing God, grow in your life the way God wants you. You only grow by the word of God, no other way, all right? Now, if you, there's a few, I was like, that have been here for 40 years. I know Jim has, Sherry has. And if you've been here with us for 40 years or you are here with us now, we haven't changed. We still teach the word of God. Ask how many scriptures does Pastor D usually have, okay? We teach the word of God, and that is my job. That's Pastor Sherry's job, to teach you, to feed you the word of God. We're not changing, all right? But watch this, okay? He says, as newborn babes. So y'all know, newborn babes, they do basically two things. If they're screaming their head off, turning all red, they're probably hungry, or they got to do a doo-doo, or they just did a doo-doo. Okay? and you got to change it, okay? But pretty much that's it. That's kind of it. So he's saying, as Christians, you be like those babies, not the doo-doo part. As you Christians, you need to desire the milk of the word. Desire. Everybody say desire. Desire is that hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst. Desire the word of God. Okay, so what is the milk of the word? Okay, that's you, ready? Hearing who you are in Christ. Where do I find that? You'll find that in here. That's you finding out everything he's done for you and finding out who you are now. That's the milk of the word. Pastor, that's it? Okay. Then what's the meat? The meat is you doing everything you heard. Amen. Yeah? So some people go, Pastor D, meat is deep. No, it's not. Meat is deep. I want meat. Okay? So I've had this through the years. They phrase it a little differently depending on what century you're in. Okay, Pastor D, where's the deep revelation? Pastor D, I want to go deep in God. Pastor D, I don't think you get it. This is not deep stuff. Pastor D, I want deep. Okay, you know what the deep things of God are? Read your Bible every day. Second thing, lift your hands up to him and worship him. Worship God. That's deep, okay? And then spend time with him. That's deep, okay? Pastor D, I want crazy deep. I think you're crazy. Come on, just go. All right, moving on, Pastor D, all right? So, Here's what Jesus is doing in the Beatitudes. First, he says salvation. That's Matthew 5:3. Then he talks about the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew 5:4. And then he says, humble your heart. That's Matthew 5:6. Okay? And then he says, when you do all of that, guess what? You're ready to obtain, grab hold of the promises of God. And then he says, then you will hunger and thirst for God. What do we say? I'm always honest. Sherry says, I hate to say this. I want to be honest. I'm honest. There was a season in my life, it was hard. It was really hard. And then I did stupid. I got mad at God. Don't get mad at God. That's really stupid, okay? So I've had a few stupidness, okay? And I was just mad at God and stupid. And I was not hungry for the things of God. And, okay, it was not Pastor D upstairs. It was kids Pastor D downstairs. That makes no difference, okay? And ask me how many times I read my Bible. Not a lot. I wasn't hungering and thirsting for God. And let me tell you, the promises weren't just overtaking me, okay? So that's not a good place to be. So we want to hunger and thirst, all right? Now, how many of you know there's a lot of things that people hunger and thirst for? Raise your hand if you know one thing that people hunger and thirst for. Raise your hand. What is it? Money. What's another thing people hunger and thirst for? Sugar. Yeah. That's the flesh, right? Okay, and what else?
Power.
What? Power. Okay, hunger and thirst for possessions. Hunger and thirst for vacation. Bigger this, bigger that. Okay, there's a lot of things that people, not us, right? There's a lot of things that people hunger and thirst for, all righty? Now, there is never, even when I was ticked at God, which is so stupid. So let's pass after that one, okay? But there has never been a day in my life where I got up first thing in the morning. I just want to look on my cell phone. I want to check and see what you posted on what you ate on Instagram. I don't care. I don't care what picture you posted, okay? What food you ate. I don't care. You know, and I care, and this is, you know, y'all love me. I didn't mean to step on anybody's toes if that's your bag, okay? Jeez Louise, okay. Okay, you know what I do the first thing every day? Before I put my feet down. Father God, man, thank you. Thank you that you loved me when I was just a turkey. And you came after me. You brought me into your family. You wrote my name in the book of life. Thank you. I thank you for your favor in my life. I thank you, Father, that I am here to serve you. Thank you. Man, some days I'm just bawling. I haven't even gotten out of bed. or had coffee yet, okay? Okay, so I don't know what you do, but that should be your first thing, not, I got to get on this, okay? All right, last scripture, Matthew 5:7. This is Jesus. Happy, fortunate, blessed, jubilant, okay, shall be, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, so they will obtain mercy, okay? Here's a question, and we'll look at the ceiling. Are you a merciful person? Or are you not merciful to other people? And by the way, this is a Bible principle. This is called sowing and reaping. We think that has to do with money. It has to do with a lot. So here's my question. If you sow mercy to people, what are you going to get in return? According to this scripture, everybody say mercy. You don't sow mercy to that turkey over there. No, you don't sow mercy. What are you going to get in return? Zip, zero, nothing. Right, okay. God wants us to be people of mercy. People of mercy, all right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Mercy is grace in action. Woo! Mercy, think on that. You got to write that down. That's like you'll put it on your mirror and you'll be looking at that going, huh? Mercy is grace in action. Mercy is treating others the way Jesus treats you. Woo! You know, this is slow days. I want to do this, but... You know, I just want to go after, and the Lord's like, mercy is treating others the way Jesus treated you. So what does that mean? God desires you to treat other people better, right? Do any of you deserve God's mercy? No, we don't, but he gave it. He gave mercy. He forgives our sin. Praise God. Okay. So let me say, there have been just a few times in my life where I'd done something. Okay. And that day, that thing just kind of haunted me and I'm just, and that very, I mean, I did done something. Better, maybe it's usually it's my mouth. Okay. And I'm just feeling like, oh man. And that exact same day, God just blesses me. And I'm like, whoa. And I'm like, God, I don't deserve that. And he goes, I know, but I'm a God of mercy. He doesn't even say that, but I know. He's merciful. God is merciful. And he wants us to be merciful. Now, this is the bold print on the bottom of the page. Ready? That does not mean that I just live any way I want to and do all sorts of the big, bad, dirty, nothing, and da-da-da-da-da. That does not mean that you live any way you want and go, God's a God of mercy. God's a God of mercy. Listen, God wants you to live better than, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then you try to wiggle in. But God, you said you're a God of mercy. No. No. Okay? Listen, but if you ask him to forgive you, he will. All right? So here's my thing. You know, I think we all deserved a lot worse than what we got. Come on. Sin breaks God's heart. We've done some, and he was merciful. Put your hand on your heart. Thank you, God, for being merciful to me. Thank you. Woo! All right. So, this is what I want to say that I believe for all of us as a church, as an individual in a church, that God wants us, say this nice, Pastor D. Let's not live in mercy. I'm just going to get away with this. Live in mercy. Let's not live that way. How about we live different? How about we live like a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? How about we start living like a believer, a true follower of Jesus Christ, okay? Okay, so we have had salvation come into our life, and then we have the Holy Spirit that came in us, okay? And then we've gotten rid of stuff, okay? We got rid of stuff, that pride and all that stuff. We've humbled ourselves, and then we start getting hungry and thirsty for the thing of God. How about we live like that, okay? So, just to recap, what did we find out today? God wants us to be meek and humble. Matthew 5:5. What else do we find out? God wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness for him. Matthew 5:6. And this last one, God wants us, our default, we just go to where we are merciful towards people. Matthew 5:7. Okay? God wants us. Now, I'm going to say two more things, and then I think I'm going to wrap up. But you know, Pastor D. If you are here and you are in a marriage where there is abuse, if you are here and you are in a marriage that there's abuse, okay, this message is not for you to go back into that because I'm merciful. No, get out, okay? Okay, God did not design a relationship for a husband and wife to be abusive. That's not God. That's the devil, okay? That's the world, all right? If you are dating, I probably see this a lot dating. If you are dating somebody who's abusive, get out. Pastor D, you just preached on mercy. That's not where mercy goes, okay? Okay? So if you're married, Pastor D, what advice would you give somebody who's in a consistent abuse situation? Separate. I didn't say divorce. First separate. Separate. And then go get counsel. Pastor D, I don't like counsel. You know, I don't need counsel. We just covered that. That's pride, right? Okay, so if you know somebody, okay, let's talk about ourselves. So if you are in a situation, a marriage or a dating relationship, first thing you do is you separate, okay? You separate, and then you go get help, you go get counsel, okay? And I will tell you, don't put yourself in that. See, Sherry and I have had phone calls break our hearts, okay? So that was a nice way to end. Let's see, how do I end? Okay, everybody smile. No, everybody bow your head and close your eyes. I had to say that because, you know, people take that mercy and they just go, woo, that's not mercy. Okay, mercy is God will pull you out of that and, you know, and hopefully after you separate, after you get counsel, that you can get back together again, right? Okay. Close your eyes. Do you have any areas that you need to work on humility? Okay. Like, God, I need to be a humble person. Do you have any areas where you need to start hungering and thirsting for the Lord again? Is that an area in your life where, you know, you just kind of filled your life and you really, I always used to say with kids, I don't even know where my Bible is. Well, you need to start hungering and thirsting, okay? Okay. Ask yourself, just, you know, the Holy Spirit in the presence of God, this isn't me, and nobody's raising their hands, but, you know, are there areas in my life that, Lord, that you are speaking to me in this message that I need to do a turn, right? Do I need to show mercy to someone? Do I need to show mercy to that person that's in my life? Do I need to show mercy? Father, we thank you for your word, and Father, we bow to you. We lower ourselves to you, to your word. And Father, if we need mercy, if we need humility, if we need humility, I thank you, Lord, that you help us, teach us, guide us. All right. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to hunger more for you. Help us to thirst more for you. Help us to show mercy to others because you are so merciful to us, so merciful. And Father, as we bow to you, I thank you, Father, that you just lead us and guide us and bless us. And we just thank you. Amen. So with eyes closed, heads bowed still, just give me three more minutes here. If you're here, you are here, okay. But remember we said, The humility first starts with, I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. That's humility. So if you're here and that's you, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I want to pray for you. If you're here, maybe, and you're like, Pastor D, I received Jesus, but man, I have just put him down at the end of the street. I've become far from him. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Okay? If you've never accepted Jesus, I want to pray with you. Or you have accepted him in your life. Come on, it happens. You know, you just, look at me. I got mad at God and okay, but it's a good day to come back. So I want to pray with you. So if that's you and you want to receive Jesus, humility, I want to receive Jesus. I need him. Or you want to come back because you've been far from him, I want to pray for you. All right, so eyes are closed, heads are still down here. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith, if that's you, and just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, that's me. I would like to receive Jesus as my Savior. Or raise your hand. I see that hand. Raise your hand if that's you. Lord, I have been far from you. I've just gotten away from you in my life. You're hungering and thirst for you. If that's you, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Okay, I see that hand. Good. So we're going to pray a simple prayer. Nothing hard. Jesus doesn't make things hard. Good thing, because I wouldn't have made it, okay? So everybody that raised your hand, I want you to say this from your heart. And those that have already prayed these prayers, how about we pray this, we say this with them, okay? Say it loud enough so you can hear it, okay? If you want to stand up, you can stand up. But here, let's just pray this prayer. Lord God, I repent because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I need a Savior. And Father, right now, I thank you that you are my Father. You're now my God. And Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior. Amen. My sins are forgiven. I'm now a child of God. I'm now saved. Woo! Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Okay, eyes open. Look at me. If you prayed that prayer, we have some material for you. We'll pray with you. You need a Bible. Really important, okay? We got Bibles, okay? And let's stand up. Here we go. So come on up front if you prayed that prayer to receive Jesus or rededicate your life, or if you just want us to agree in prayer. We are great agreeers. We do that really good, all right? So everybody say, I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. Amen. Amen. All right, have a great day.